Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, we're all encouraged to let our lawns grow into meadows and to encourage biodiversity. Another way of doing this is to install a pond. Tommy Early is a farmer in Roscommon who's built 17 of them and has agreed to go public about his pond addiction. Afternoon, Tommy.
Good afternoon.
How's it going?
All good, all good.
So, if you build a pond, is it like a case of you just build it and it comes, and they will come sort of thing? You don't have to put any creatures in it.
Exactly, yeah. Once you create that habitat, it's a bit like a magnet. It'll pull in all the creatures that want to live there. They'll move in themselves.
And, like, where do they come from? I suppose just nature provides them.
Well, they come from around in the local area, you know, but they will travel a bit to get to a pond.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose going back in the past, like, there was a farm pond on every farm, but I suppose with the advantage of piped water to houses and farms, a lot of those ponds were done away with or filled in because, you know, you could bring a water trough out to the field and the animals start using that.
Yeah.
But by having those ponds on the farm, it provides that habitat. And that's the whole thing with nature. It's about loss of habitat. So we've lost a lot of that habitat of our wetlands. They're under a lot of threat. But by creating a pond, you're providing that area for the creatures to move into it.
Yeah, and typically, I don't know if it's possible to generalise about this, what kind of creatures are ponds good for?
Well, ponds are, we'd say, if you follow the course of a pond over the course of a year, the first things that'll start using this are frogs. They'll start breeding early on in the year. And once the frogs are in there, you'll have the herons, ducks, otters, all of them will come to feed on the frogs. So they won't eat all the frogs. Mm. They'll eat some of them. But then after the frogs have used it, the newts will be the next one you'll see breeding in there. Then if you're lucky to have them, little fish called stickleback. And after that, you'll see dragonflies. They'll come, they'll lay their eggs on the pond, and those eggs will sink down to the bottom. And in some cases, the little larvae live on the floor of the pond for maybe up to 4 years before they'll turn into the dragonfly. They'll come back up to the surface.
Gosh, that's remarkable. Now, for people listening to us now thinking, that's an idea, how difficult or not is it to build a pond? What do you need to do?
Well, it's not too hard to build a pond. There's a very good group called Farming for Nature, and they have a website. So if you go onto the Farming for Nature website, you get all the details of making ponds under whatever conditions you have. And that's basically, it's a network of farmers. And they have a Farming for Nature handbook. And if you get in contact with them, they'll send you out the handbook. And all the information that you need is in that.
All right. Okay, that's handy. Now, most people, I suppose people wouldn't have land, would have one pond. How come you've 17 of them, Tommy?
Well, I suppose it's a little bit, like I put in the first pond, you know, I thought a pond would be nice. So I put in the first pond, and when you see the amount of stuff that's using it, you're tempted to put in a second one. And I have a bit of land and I have a small digger. So when I'm doing bits of jobs around the farm or that, I was thinking to myself, yeah, that'd be another nice little spot. And some of the ponds are very small, you know, so... But there's wildlife using them all. That's the important thing, is that you're giving them that chance.
Yeah. And in the different ponds then, are you finding that there might be different creatures? There might be more frogs in one and more dragonflies in the other and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and you can have some areas that'll dry out. Do you know what? There might be a very, very shallow pond that if you got a long dry spell, we didn't have it this summer, but it might dry out altogether. But even with that, you'll find that there'll be different flowers and different grasses growing in there. You know, it's not always about having an area of open water.
Okay. Is it a factor at all, if you're making a pond from scratch, what kind of water you put in it? Like, will tap water do?
Well, it wouldn't be the best. Ideally, if you could use rainwater.
Nice.
And in my case here, I was able to, lucky enough, a bit of a hill, and I was able to divert a couple of drains that they would flow into the pond. But, you know, maybe in a smaller situation, if it's a pond beside a house, you could divert, we'll say, a downpipe coming off the roof. So that'll be your rainwater
feeding into
the pond. And, yeah, so that's the thing to consider. What water is going to feed into it, and then you'll have an overflow coming out of it that you'll have to divert away somewhere else.
Yeah. What's the biggest pond you've made?
I suppose the biggest one, it has a little island in the middle of it.
Oh.
I don't know what, I never took any dimensions on it, but I suppose.
Well, it's big enough for an island, so that's.
It's only a small little island. You'd probably park maybe 6 cars if you had to on the island.
All right, okay. That's not small now.
That's not too small, no.
And are you going to keep doing it? Are you going to make any more?
Oh, I intend to, yeah. I intend to keep going. But there's a couple of things, I suppose, if you were considering a pond, is to make sure that the edge of the edge for the between the land and the pond, that there's a nice slope on the edge so that if children or for wildlife can get in and get out of the pond very easily. You know,
right.
You don't want something like a cliff face where things would just fall into it.
Okay.
The other side, then if you have a bit of shelter, we'll say, on the north side of the pond, you know, so that when you get that cold breezes coming from the north, you'll have the sun shining in from the south, and you'll have a nice warm pocket of air in there. That's what it's all about, is getting that little bit of temperature moving. And that's what causes everything to take off. So you have the nice shallow water around the edges, and that bit of shelter, and that's where you see the first life starting to move in the spring.
Okay, it actually sounds absolutely lovely. Tommy, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Tommy Early there, a farmer in Roscommon.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.